Hello, and welcome to the Q&A session for week 4 of the MOOC on Understanding Superstructures. This session is going to be slightly different to the previous three, because there have been very few questions this week. The number of social learners on the course has declined rapidly. It might mean that everyone understands everything, or that the level of participation has fallen off. Anyhow, the result is the same. There are no significant questions that Sherry and I could talk about. So instead, I thought we could pick up on a topic that has caused some discussion this week, and that's plasticity and its occurrence during elastic deformation. This is a topic of interest in my research group. So Shirley, over to you.
Ian, as you know, I am a first year PhD student in the group, and so I am not familiar with all of the research. Can you start by describing what you are interested in?
Yes. We're interested in the formation of the plastic zone around the tip of a crack in otherwise elastic material. We have discovered that, counterintuitively, the plastic zone around a crack tip can slow down or retard the growth of the crack.
Okay, that's already too deep. Could you start from the beginning?
Sure. In metals, cyclic or repetitive loading causes dislocations to accumulate in regions where there's a concentration of stress. And this causes small-scale, local yielding of the material. This tends to occur at geometric discontinuities, or where there are flaws or defects in the material. But let's go back another step. A dislocation within a crystal lattice structure, such as those found in metals, is an imperfection in the lattice structure, where there's a discontinuity in the regular pattern of the lattice. Under loading, plastic or permanent deformation can be achieved within these structures due to the dislocation slipping in the crystal lattice, allowing planes of atoms in the lattice to slide over one another. During cyclic loading, dislocations slip and concentrate in locations of high stress, coalescing to form voids and eventually cracks. A crack tip further concentrates stress because it's a geometric discontinuity, and thus causes the process to repeat with concentrated dislocations, creating an area of plasticity or permanent deformation ahead of the propagating crack. So you would expect a crack with a large plastic zone at its tip to grow quickly because lots of dislocations are piling up, allowing voids to coalesce at an alarming rate and the crack to advance by joining up the voids. But that does not always happen. Instead, the plastic zone shields the crack tip from the stress field and effectively blunts the crack, weakening it as a stress concentrator. This happens because the stiffness of the plastic material is very low. We're beyond the knee in the stress strain curve, and so the plastic zone is not good at transmitting stress. It's as if it wasn't there, and the crack had a big cavity at its tip, which reduces the stress concentration and slows down crack growth.
But how do we know all of this?
Well, we can monitor dislocation movement. When dislocations move, energy is released during the process of forming new surfaces. The energy is released as heat, which we can monitor using very sensitive infrared cameras. We use an infrared camera that has a sensitivity measured in millikelvin. That's thousandths of a degree. So we can see the buildup of dislocations in the plastic zone around the crack tip when the load is applied during cyclic loading. In titanium or aluminium, the plastic zone typically has an area of 1 to 2 square millimeters per unit thickness. And everything else ahead of the crack continues to behave elastically. In other words, it does not show any permanent deformation. Behind the crack tip, the flanks of the crack rub and grind together when the load is removed during cyclic loading, which also generates heat due to friction, and we can see that too. But the time scale for the plastic and friction heating is different, so it's easy to distinguish them. One happens during loading and the other during unloading.
How do you know that What you're measuring is caused by the accumulation of dislocations. Aren't they very small?
Yes. Dislocations are really small. Sometimes just a few atoms long. So we can't even see them in a scanning electron microscope. However, when they accumulate in the plastic zone, they churn up the regular lattice structure of the metal, and we can see the change in surface texture using the scanning electron microscope. This gives us a means of verifying our live loading observations with the infrared camera.
Have other people observed similar behavior?
We published our work on observing plastic zones in the Proceedings of the Royal Society about 5 years ago. The research was performed when I was at Michigan State University, and we have reproduced it in Liverpool, which adds tremendous confidence to the results. In parallel, I have been working with a mathematician and a material scientist at the University of Plymouth to develop a new theoretical model of the crack tip shielding mechanism. It's a bit of a paradigm shift from traditional fracture mechanics, as the field is known, and so it's only slowly gaining acceptance.
You implied at the start that is an area of current interest. Is the group still working on the same topic?
We have moved on to consider what happens in materials that are subject to irradiation, in, for example, a nuclear reactor. So we are bombarding our test specimens with radiation using an accelerator, then subjecting them to cyclic loading and watching the growth of the crack and its plastic zone. Previous research has shown that radiation damages the regular lattice structure in metals, and so we are interested in whether this enhances or hinders dislocation movement and the formation of the crack tip plastic zone.
Do you know what happens?
Not yet. It's a hot topic of research, though not literally, because we wait for the test specimens to cool radioactively before loading them. This only takes a few weeks because our specimens are about the size of a postage stamp.
Okay, thank you. What are we going to cover next week in the MOOC?
I'm going to talk about real structures, including structures that move, and discuss how engineers handle the known and unknown unknowns associated with structures in real life. We'll touch on emergent behaviour in complex systems and the new approaches being developed to handle complexity. There's an end of course quiz and a final opportunity to contribute to the design project.